Good morning, wherever you may be, whether you're a family of Shofar Bloemfontein, or maybe you're not part of our church, maybe you're visiting, maybe you're listening in, tuning in for the first time. I want to say welcome to the Shofar Bloemfontein family. Welcome to the family of Jesus Christ. My name is Alistair Kingwell, for those of you who don't know me, and it's such a privilege to be ministering the Word of God again to you this morning, wherever you may be. And I'm so thankful for our church family, and I want to just start off, just allow me a few minutes to thank those who are committed, those who have been giving, those who have been serving, loving one another. It's so wonderful to hear all the testimonies of our church family and what God is really doing in our midst, despite the fact that we cannot gather together in this time. But what a joy to know that the church is not bound by a building or a physical place, but the church is alive and well, and Jesus is truly building his church. So I trust that this morning you'll be blessed as we spend time in the Word of God and as we hear his heartbeat and his voice for each one of us on this beautiful, awesome new day that he has given us. This morning I want to talk about the unchanging God who causes change. The title of my message this morning is The Unchanging God Who Causes Change. We're really in a season of change. And for those of you who received the newsletter that I sent out this week, then I mentioned something there that is sort of resonating with me at the moment, and that is that change is here to stay. The only constant in this world at the moment, it seems, is change. We're constantly having to adapt, we're constantly having to think on our feet and not to plan too far ahead because we just simply don't know. And it's a great place to be in a way. Because as people of the Lord, as followers of God, change is something that we actually need to get used to. And that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to look at this whole concept of change and how to handle change and how does God cause change in our lives. But before I do that, I want to look at God, the unchanging God. Because despite all the change around us, despite so many things changing and change being the constant, we have even a greater constant in our lives, and that is the unchanging God. I want to read some scriptures here for us this morning in terms of who God is and when he calls himself the unchanging God. In Malachi 3, verse 6, the Lord says the following, or Malachi writes, and God speaks to the prophet Malachi, and he says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." I want to say that again, for I, the Lord, do not change. Isn't that a wonderful promise to hold on to in this time? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says the following, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Confirming in the New Testament what is said in the Old Testament, that God and Jesus himself, who is God, the Son of God, does not change. Another scripture, Numbers 23, verse 19. "God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it?" Isn't that amazing to know that God is not a liar? God does not change his mind. He stays the same as we've read in the previous few scriptures. And then a last one, again from the New Testament, in James chapter 1, verse 17. It says the following, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Just from these four scriptures, I think we can understand that we serve a God who does not change. Isn't that amazing? And I just want to look at a few attributes of God, and we can spend so much time on this, but I just want to look at a few other attributes of God that we can hold on to in this time where everything seems to be changing, where everything seems to be uncertain around us. We can put our faith in not only a God who's immutable, in other words, he never changes. That's the first attribute that I want to focus on this morning. But there are other attributes that will bless us and that will make us trust in this unchanging God. God is all-knowing. The big word that theologians use for this word called all-knowing is omniscient. God knows everything. Then secondly, God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. Then the third thing, God is everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, all over the place at the same time. Then God is infinite. God is not limited. He's limitless. God is sovereign. God is eternal. God is self-sufficient. He has no needs. God is wise. God is faithful. God is holy. Then God is just and righteous. God is good. And the last one, God is merciful and compassionate, which encompasses His love. Isn't that amazing to know that we can put our faith in a God who's not only unchanging, but a God who's unchanging in all of these characteristics? God isn't only powerful sometimes and not powerful other times. God is not only everywhere today and He's not everywhere tomorrow. God is the same. He stays the same every single day. And even from eternity to eternity, God is still the same. Isn't that wonderful? We can spend so much time on all these characteristics. But I just want to encourage us this morning, before we look at a God who causes change, it's important that we look at a God who is unchanging, a God who's not shaken, a God who wants to draw us to Himself. But you see, as people, we do not have these characteristics. We do not have these attributes. We are not good. We are not loving. We are not wise all the time. Maybe sometimes. Maybe in certain situations we find ourselves being merciful and just and righteous and good. But we're definitely not like this all the time. We definitely fall short of these glorious attributes that God portrays in His character. And that's why it's so important for us to realize that we need change in our beings. We need a deep change from within inside of us. And I don't know if you've been following the news lately about this terrible murder that happened in America of this police guy, a white guy that killed this black guy. And now there's so much racial tension, and the racial lines have been drawn again. And it's just so evident again in the world that we live in, and especially in this pandemic that we're facing, how we as people need a change of heart. We need to be changed from the inside. And only God Himself, friends, can do this change and can cause this change inside of us. And that's why we're living in such awesome times, where we have an opportunity to portray this God that we believe in and this God that we trust. So I want to ask you a few questions this morning. Where do you need change in your life? Where do you need a change of heart? And then secondly, are you willing to allow this unchanging God, this God who's perfect and holy and who stays the same yesterday, today, and forever, are you willing to allow this God to change you as a father? Remember, God is a father. And are you willing to allow Him to change you on the inside? And then lastly, are you willing to be an agent of change in the hand of an unchanging God who wants to cause change and who can cause change and who will cause change in this world? The choice is up to us, and the choice is in our hands. So how does this unchanging God cause change in us and in the world around us? I've come up with four F's that God uses to cause change, that this unchanging God uses to cause change in us. And the first one is found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus said to His disciples, the first disciples that He called, He said to them the following. He says, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow Me, He said to them. And guess what? I will cause change in your life. And He's calling each one of us to do the same as He did to the disciples. He's calling us to follow Him. He doesn't just do it once, but He continually says, "Follow Me." And maybe someone here this morning listening, maybe a couple of people need to be reminded again that Jesus is calling you to follow Him. Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe you don't know Jesus personally, and maybe you're not following him. Maybe you just happened to listen to this message. Maybe someone sent this message on to you, and you need to know that Jesus is calling you as one of his disciples to follow him. And guess what he's going to do when you start to follow him? He's going to change your life. Amen. He's going to change your life. And for those of us, including myself, who've followed Jesus for many years, I've been following Jesus now for almost 30 years. It's been 28 years. When I was 15 years old, I committed my life to Jesus, and I haven't stopped following. There were times when I wasn't following him fully, but there was never a time in my life where I wasn't aware of Jesus and I wanted to follow him. Sometimes I didn't know how or where, but he is always calling us to follow him. And it's been amazing. It's been an incredible journey following Jesus. It's an adventure, and he's calling each one of us to follow him. And he promises, just like he promised these disciples, he said to them, I'm going to change you from being a fisher of fish to be a fisher of men. What an adventure Jesus was inviting these disciples onto. But I want to focus this morning on the fact that Jesus called these disciples and he said, I'm going to change your life. I'm going to cause change in your life. And maybe you need change in your life this morning. Maybe you need change in your life in specific areas. Then I want to say there's one solution, and that is to follow Jesus. Isn't that exciting? And how do we as people, if Jesus is not walking on this earth any longer, but how do we follow him physically? I believe he's given us this book, this awesome book. It's called the Bible. It's a book of life. It's a book where we can learn so much. We can hear the voice of God in this book by reading it and following the voice of God, following the guidance and the instructions of God as if it was Jesus. You see, Jesus said he was the Word that was made flesh. He became a man, but he was the Word of God at the beginning. And I believe if we follow the Word of God, friends, our lives will be changed. The Word of God changed my life when I realized that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. I read that in this Word, and that changed my life. And Jesus is calling us today through his Word, and I want you to make a commitment to read more of the Word of God and say, Jesus, I want to follow you in this Word. It's not just a book. But it's you. I want to see you. I want to hear your voice. I want to stay close to you by reading this Word and by spending time in this Word. But follow this Word. Follow Jesus personally. Have a personal relationship with him, and he will change your life. He will make you from being a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. He will change you from living a temporal life to living an eternal life. And that is all. Every one of us has got that desire in us to live a life of eternity and of significance. The second F, so the first F is when we follow him, when we follow Jesus. The second F is how God changes our lives is when we are filled with him. In Acts chapter 2, we see the story of these first disciples. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says to them, he said, wait for the promise. The faithful, unchanging God promised them to be filled with himself. And he said, wait in the upper room and you will be endued with power from on high, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will be my witnesses. And Jesus fulfilled that promise by pouring out his Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And we're living in the times of Pentecost. We've just celebrated Pentecost last Sunday, where Jesus reminds us again of when we follow him. He says, I want to fill you with my Spirit. And I'm gonna change your life. And that's what he did to those first disciples. He changed their lives. They began to speak in tongues that they'd never spoken before. They began to be empowered and filled with the presence, with the very essence and the presence and the power and the anointing of God. And they changed the world, which we'll get to just now. But if we want to really be changed, then we need to be filled with God himself. And it's so important that we are not only filled once, but that we are filled continually. When last were you filled with the very essence and presence of God himself? Filled with him. It's just so powerful when we are. When we're filled with the presence, the provision, and the power of God. Those three P's, the presence, the provision, and the power of God. There's less of us and more of Him when we get filled with Him. Isn't that amazing? I want to take you to a story of two Sauls in the Bible. The one Saul is found in the Old Testament. The other Saul is found in the New Testament. And it's interesting that both these Sauls were filled with the presence of God. So let's look at the first Saul, the Saul from the Old Testament. We all know the first king of Israel. He was filled with the Spirit of God. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. You can go and read that. 1 Samuel chapter 10 is the story of how Saul becomes filled with the Spirit of God. And the Bible said that he's going to be changed into another man. And he had a new heart. The Bible says he was given a new heart when he was filled with the very presence of God. And he was among the prophets and he began to prophesy. Why? Because he was called to be a representative for God. Not only to rule Israel, but to be a representative, to be the prophetic voice for the people of God and for God Himself. And he was filled with the very Spirit of God. But then what happened? We read the rest of the story of Saul, and his life didn't end very well. In fact, before the end of his life, the Spirit of the Lord left him. The Spirit of the Lord was taken away from him. Because Saul led a disobedient life. Saul led a rebellious life. When he was so anointed and so filled with the presence of God, despite being filled, Saul was led astray by his own pride and by the sinful nature within him. And Saul's life ended badly, and God had to raise up a new king, the greatest king of all time, King David. And we learn this lesson that Saul missed the plans of God. Saul missed the purpose of God because I believe he wasn't continually filled with the presence of God. And then let's look at the second story of the other Saul in the Bible. The Saul of the New Testament, the Saul that met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was powerfully encountered by Jesus Christ. And his life was changed. And in Acts chapter 9, you can go and read, he was filled again, just like the Saul in the Old Testament. He was filled with the presence of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And he was anointed, and God chose him to be just like Saul was supposed to be in the Old Testament. This Saul was anointed again to be a representative for God. And this Saul had a different ending to the other Saul. This Saul changed the world. He planted so many churches. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This Saul seemed to have a very different experience of the Spirit of God, despite them both being filled. But I believe the difference was that this Saul kept being filled with the Holy Spirit, so much so that his name was even changed to Paul. The other Saul stayed Saul, but this Saul of the New Testament became Paul, the great apostle Paul himself. And yeah, in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, he writes the following. Listen to this. He says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Isn't that powerful? This very same Paul writes about this incredible change that he's experienced when he beholds this glory, he beholds this unchanging God, and his life is changed from glory to glory. And he encourages other believers, the believers here in Corinth that he's writing to, and he says, it's time for all of us to behold the glory of the Lord, because then we're going to be changed. Because where the Lord is, the Spirit is, and the Spirit of the Lord brings freedom. So friends, the second way in which God truly changes us is when we are filled with His Spirit. But I want to say it's not only a once-off thing. It's not just being baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time and starting to speak in tongues. It's a continuous infilling. In fact, in Ephesians 5 verse 18 to 21, Paul writes and he says, it's important to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit and to be changed into the image of God, because that is ultimately our calling. So I'm going to end off this morning with the last two F's, which I just want to leave with you, and I'll carry on with them next week, because it's so important that we realize that this unchanging God truly wants to change our lives and the lives of others. The third F is that of fellowship. God changes us when we come into fellowship with others. When we fellowship with other people, we realize it's not just about me and Jesus, me and the Holy Spirit. It's about fellowship. And that's the difference between the Saul of the Old Testament and the Saul of the New Testament. The Saul of the Old Testament was not open at the end of his life to fellowship, to counsel, to wisdom. He did his own thing. Where's the Paul of the New Testament, or the Saul who became Paul? He understood fellowship. He understood the power of church, the power of unity and community. And I want to say, God wants to change us through other people. Amen. God wants to have us fellowship with other believers and to find wisdom in the counsel of many. And where his spirit dwells among us and fills us as a community of believers. That's what I'll carry on with next week. And the last F is God changes us when we fish for other people. When we become fishers of men, fishers of people, instead of just doing a work which is temporary, but doing a work which is eternal, where one day in heaven, it's only going to be souls. It's only going to be people that we can take with us, nothing else. And we will change the world when we fish for other people. Just the scripture that I want to leave with you. The disciples in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, it says, when they were at the house of Jason and they were arrested and they were persecuted by the Jews who didn't want them to preach the name of Jesus, it says the following. It says, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. And Jesus commissions us and he says, go and make disciples. Go and change the world and I will be with you. And that is what these first disciples did. And the people said, these people have turned this world upside down. I don't know about you, but I want to be known as someone who turned the world upside down. Not because of me, but because of the Christ in me, the hope of glory. What about you? Is there a Christ in you? Is the presence of God so powerfully in you that your world can be turned upside down, that your family can be impacted, that those around you can be impacted, that the world, wherever you go and wherever you find yourself, will be impacted? Because when you're filled with God, then only God can come out. Amen. When you're filled with His Spirit, filled with Jesus Himself and the Word, that is what is going to come out. The unchanging God wants to change your life. He wants to change my life. And He wants to cause change throughout the world. And friends and family and visitors and guests and whoever you are listening here this morning, Jesus Christ wants to change all of our lives. Jesus wants to change your life, even right now. Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to allow Him to cause change in you and then to cause change through you? Because He is the unchanging God who does indeed cause change. I want to pray with us this morning and trust that where there's change needed in your life or around your life, you can trust that this God will cause change. He is sovereign, He is holy, He is immutable and unchangeable, but He is committed to causing change and allowing us to grow into His image and allowing the world to see who He really is, a God full of love, full of hope, full of faith. Can we pray together this morning? I want to pray with you there where you are, and I want to trust that God will touch your life, that He will change you right there where you are as you surrender to Him. Father God, I thank You this morning for this word, Lord, that You are the unchanging God, the immutable God, but yet, Lord, You want to cause change. Because, Lord, as people, we need to be changed into Your image. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone who's listening to my voice and who's watching this recording, I pray, Lord, that You would touch them right now, that You would cause change where there's change needed, Lord. That those who haven't committed to following You will start to follow You, Jesus. That those who aren't filled with Your Spirit would be filled with Your Holy Spirit now as they surrender and as they receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I pray that You would touch them right now as they just allow You to come and minister. Lord, and I pray for those who just need to be healed in Jesus' name, who need to be healed and delivered of depression. Lord, won't You cause change in their lives, God? And won't You come and surround them with people, Lord, and give them a purpose and a calling to be fishers of men, Lord. Not only fishers of fish, but not to just live in this natural world, but to live in the supernatural world where You empower us by Your Spirit. I pray Your blessing over Your people today in Jesus' mighty name. And I pray that, Lord, You would remind us that You've called us to follow You, to be filled with You, to fellowship with others and to fish for other people out there. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you so much for listening this morning, and I trust that you were blessed and encouraged. Stay strong, Keep fighting the good fight of faith and keep following Jesus, keep being filled with His Spirit, keep fellowshipping where you are as much as you can in this time, and trust the Lord that you will also be a fisher of men as you go and make disciples. Thank you very much.